Hey there, I'm your host, Justin Owens, and this is the Can't Stop Moving podcast, a deep dive into the life, experiences, and businesses of my very own grandfather, Gary Owens. Each episode, we discuss a different segment of his life or a particular business. He was doing so many different things at the same time, it was really difficult to go in chronological order. So you'll discover quickly that we go off on tangents and down random rabbit holes, but bear with us as I figure out how to interview someone I've known my entire life and attempt to tease out stories I've heard for the better part of 30 years.
All right. So at this point, let's get into some of the more colorful stories that we skipped in previous episodes when we were talking about the drive-in, talking about the A&Ws, and anything else. So if any listeners have sensitive ears, this is your opportunity to pause and stop the podcast right here and not proceed any further. I'll give you a moment. All right, Gary.
Oh, they're not that bad.
For some folks. All right, so let's start, I guess, a little chronological as best as we can do, and start with the drive-in theater.
Well, when I left the farm, I rolled a tractor, and I went and got a job while my lungs healed up at the East Bay Drive-In Theater. I stayed there. I wound up second year, I'm assistant manager, third year I'm running it. I hired Monty Williams, who's a neighbor kid. There were 10 of them in the family, 10 kids. So Monty got married at a young age to his gal, and so he needed a job, so I hired him. He's working the lot at the East Bay Drive-In Theater. I'm in the office. He comes busting down the hallway past my office. He grabs the door jamb as he goes by. He's really going in a hurry. And he pulls himself up and he says, "You'll never guess what happened." He was the lot boy. When the movie ended, you kept somebody to go around and wake those up that fell asleep, so they wouldn't drive off with a speaker in the window and tear our whole thing loose, the wiring, and bust their window, and it'd be better to wake them up. So he wakes his car up, and this girl, woman, gets out, stark naked.
What?
Puts her panties on, and Monty, he heads for the snack bar to tell me what happened. That was one. Gary Bonzer is a cashier. We grew up together. And at these...
Well, on the last story, before you go, because I think I know where you're heading, but on the last story, wasn't it like a game?
That's a different deal.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Gary Bonzer got where he could tell how many kids were in the trunk by, as they came down the long driveway to the box office. He could tell by the lights jiggling if there's one in the, if there's nobody in the trunk, it's smooth. If there's one in the trunk, it wiggled the lights a little. If there's two in the trunk, it wiggled a little more. Three, it wiggled more. So he'd call me and say, "I think there's three in a trunk." So he'd charge for the one, and they'd go on in, and I'd pick that car up, and I'd go stand beside it, and turn the music or the show on. I'd just stand there, watch the show, and they're whispering back and forth. The kids in the trunk
to the person driving.
Yeah, you know, one girl driving alone to the drive-in theater, three or four in the trunk. So I'd stand there, he'd whisper, "What's he doing? You know, I hear him whisper."
So you'd just stand right next to the car, yeah, wherever they park.
Or the next speaker over.
Uh-huh.
And after about 15 minutes, they've had it. So she said, "Okay, you got it." So she gets around, unlocks the trunk out, piles three or four, three of them. And,
you know, it's, you know, so much for admission, you know.
Yeah, I said, "That'll be so much." This girl raises her dress and says, "Will you take anything else?" I said, "Nope, give me the money."
Yep.
So Central Valley and West Valley had a little game going where who could get closest to the snack bar and make love to their girl closest to the snack bar. Mm-hmm. So this guy comes in. He says, "I want to see the manager." And I'm a young kid. I'm too young to be a manager. I mean, I look like a kid. And they'd always say, "I want to see the manager." "Well, that's me." So they would go ahead and he said, "I got my family here to watch the show, and it's a Disney, it's a family show. The car next door to me, he's got his pants off and he's pounding on his girl, and my family's watching." I said, "Well, you know," I said, "that happens at a drive-in, so the best I can say is, why don't you move up closer to the snack bar?" Mm-hmm. He turns around and he said, "That's my car right there."
Oh, no.
It was the first car. He's the second car.
Yeah.
Not much I could say.
Well, did you go over to the car and get him to stop?
I said, "Move away."
For real?
Yeah.
You just let it happen?
Yep.
Oh, man.
I'd have been busy all night at doing that.
I'm trying to think here. Now,
well, you know, back then, sex wasn't as open as it is today. Mm-hmm. So the drive-in theater was like a magnet for young couples wanting to make out. So who's I to stop this?
And you were young. I mean, you were, heck, you were probably 20 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't somebody pull something pretty risque, like they walked into the snack bar with very little clothing on or something?
No. She had a full body suit on. This was snack bars clear full. We had four lines. One line, concession line when you're not so busy, two when you're a little more busy, three when you're more busy, and four when you're hit full. All the doors are open to the snack bar, front, sideways. Place is packed full. Noisy people talking, cashiers are ringing. This woman walks in, and she's 6 foot tall, I think. It's awful close to 6 foot. She's built like a goddess. She's got a bodysuit on and high heels. And she walks from one end of the snack bar to the other. And it just went silent. And she's 1, 2, 3, 4. Took her 5 minutes to get through the snack bar.
Like standing in line, or she just...
No, she's ahead of the lines. Mm-hmm. All the lines was emptying into her. Everything stopped. I mean, it was just really out of place. It was like a strip teaser all of a sudden landed in our snack bar.
Did she get served?
She didn't order anything.
She just walked across.
Walked across.
Interesting.
Probably there were restrooms at both ends of the building. She walked went all the length to go. I don't know where she's going. She just walked to our snack bar.
Attention. I don't know.
It'd be like Jane Mansfield, or, you know, I mean...
Well, and you have a Jane Mansfield story.
Oh, yeah, I do, yeah. Forgot that. I'm president of the A&W owners. There's 2,550 of them. We're putting on a convention. Willie Reed, there's a board of 18 owners that's on the executive owners board, and we're signing contracts for cups and uniforms and all sorts of ketchup. So this, we're putting on a convention annually in January. So Willie Reeser is one of our 18 board members.
Two, three. Okay, sorry. Just wanted to check. Sorry, start over.
Willie Reeser's on the board, and there's several of them, so I'm not sure which one you want me to start on.
Oh, I mean, you could do the Jane Mansfield story. I mean, that's not such a risque story, but I mean. No.
So Jane Mansfield dating a guy named Dr. Murray Banks, and Banks writes a book. So he's up there giving a speech. Dr. Murray Banks, I remember this woman in the crowd had a baby. It was bawling. And Murray stopped his speech, his talk, said, "Lady, get that kid out of here."
Whoa.
Yeah, boy. Shock.
Not so great for a, like, I mean, it was all the families came for this convention.
Oh, yeah. They're, yeah.
It's kind of ridiculous.
And so he's going on with his talk, and down the aisle, theater type building, there's 2,000 people in there. This woman's drunk woman starts walking down the aisle, staggering, geez, one side to the other. And we're all thinking the next step she's going to go down. And it's Jane Mansfield, the actress.
Mm-hmm.
And
what was she doing there?
Or she was drunk. Dating. She was with Murray.
She was dating. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So she goes down and she makes it to like the second or third row and she flops down in a seat. But Jane Mansfield was a rival to Marilyn Monroe at about that time for pinup girls. So here's Jane Mansfield among all these wives, families, and kids, and drunk, trying to find her seat. And it was just one of those funny things that happened. Another one was another year, Willie Reeser. He hires a motivational speaker.
For the same kind of convention?
Yeah.
In Vegas?
Yeah. There's. Mm-hmm. I signed a contract with MGM Hotel before they opened the doors. 5-year contract. $59 a room, night for a room.
So you had a convention. He hires the motivational speaker for the convention. Kind of like Dr. Murray Banks, like
yeah.
Just another year, another speaker.
Main speaker. This woman comes in. She's got her hair in a bun. Looks like a school mom. High heels. Business suit. She starts giving this speech, and boy, she is professional. She's cut and dried. It's all business work. She's really well-versed, well-spoken. She's got us coming along. She's really telling us how to handle our employees and how to succeed in business. And she's just getting more pumped up and invigorated in her delivery of her speech. And so she gets a little warm. She takes off her jacket, suit jacket. Still giving this high octane speech. A little warm in here. She takes her hair down. This bun becomes this long mane of hair down to her ass. She whips off her skirt. She's standing there in a bra and a G-string. And this woman is of the first order that God made women look like women. And this crowd goes into shock. I mean, we're quiet anyway, but we're stunned. Here's this 6 foot tall goddess taking off her clothes. So I look over at Willie. Willie knew he had hired her. Mm-hmm. He was a jokester. So I look over at Willie and I'm shaking my head. I'm going to get you, Willie. And he grins. He just.
Because, like you can laugh about it now. But, like, at the time, you were mortified.
I was. Like, Julie and I are sitting in the front row. Willie's just eating it up. He's thinking, I got him this time. He's always. When I retired off of the deal, Willie hires. They said, well, Gary, you've done all this. We wanted to give you a present. They gave me a plaque and for running it. The owner association. So they come here in the back room. We're going to give you a gift. So they got a square box, like a bale of hay. And they had this little bit of straw around. So I'm thinking, you got a bale of straw in there, you know, me being a farmer. So I kicked the box. Lid pops up. Out comes this girl with a G-string and nothing else.
Jeez.
And she falls out of the box toward me. She's going to fall out. So I grab this girl. She grabs me. I grab her.
You kicked the box, and she freaked out and jumped out?
Yeah. Willie did it again.
Didn't he do another one, like, during a meeting?
Oh, we're in Las Vegas. MGM. And at night, Las Vegas, in addition to all the main floor slot machines, and so they have these gambling tables with high rollers. So the second floor is closed off, and the high rollers are up there playing cards and different games. So in the daytime, all this is pushed to the side of the room. These are big rooms.
Like a convention space.
Yeah. So they got a table set up, and there's 18 of us. And this Chuck guy from Michigan, Willie's always pulling something. So Chuck would go home and tell his wife, well, Willie pulled this, Willie pulled that. So her name was Helen. So Helen says, I want to sit in the next board member.
You guys aren't working. You're just playing
too
around.
Too much frivolity involved around here. Mm-hmm. So Helen, she's sitting behind Chuck, her husband. I'm up there talking. And out of the corner of my eye, clear across the open space of the floor, the second floor there, I see this.
Some movement?
Movement.
Mm-hmm.
It's a naked girl. Running with a, holding a.
Like a long ribbon?
No, it's a little blanket made out of silk. Little thing. Well, she's not naked, but she's dang near naked. She's got a little bitty G-string just covering her. She runs all the way across there. I'm standing there thinking, this. I look at Willie, and Willie grins. She ran around me and around that. Board table around me down the other side. Helen is sitting behind Chuck. Mm-hmm. She runs right by Helen and the little frail little things brushing over her head, Helen's head.
She brushed the little scarf thing over Helen's
her head.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
That went over well, I bet.
Oh, Willie's grinning. I'm dying, Chuck. He's in shock. She wanted to be sure that we weren't doing funny business. They're doing business only. So Willie pulls that.
It's like I can. You've told this story or some of these stories a few times to me, and you. I mean, you really look back at it now through the lens of like 50 years later, and it's funny. But it's like you were very serious then. I mean,
yeah.
you were pretty no nonsense.
Yeah, we all were. So, we were signing big contracts and business is going on.
It's just hard for me to imagine you then and just seeing this stuff and how you were reacting to it. You know, like, I just imagine you getting so angry.
No. I was disgusted. I didn't get mad, but Willie just kept pulling stuff, and I'm trying to keep it serious, and we're getting criticism of every time Willie pulls something. We didn't want the word to get out of there. It was just a bunch of playing going on. We were doing serious business.
Yeah.
We had an $8 million advertising budget. We hired Comp 200, had 23 employees that did our advertising. We owned our own agency. It was business. They appointed me to try to buy A&W from United Brand. So it was serious to me. Wasn't that much to Willie. He's a funny guy.
Where did he have his drive-ins? Because he was an owner.
San Luis Obispo.
Ah. Well, are there any others?
Willie's kid was Jake. He had a kid named Jake, Dan and Jake. Mm-hmm. Willie started Jake's Take and Bake Pizza at San Luis. I think it's probably still there.
Interesting. Do you want to, do we dare go down the Dan Lasseter rabbit hole?
Dan Lasseter was big time in the horse business. He was the fifth. He was the largest, the winningest owner in America 5 years in a row. He had like 500 racehorses at the track all over the place. So I'm buying 15 mares and a stud second pleasure from him. These horses, when I go to pick them up, they were all supposed to be pregnant. So 9 of them were pregnant. 6 of them had slipped their babies. So I'm trying to find my 6 mares. Well, they went back to the racetrack. So I flew one in from New Jersey and we went to Florida and picked some up, and they're all over the place. Mm-hmm. So Dan, I'd call him and say, Dan, I'm trying to find my 6 mares. And he'd say, well, I'll give you some phone numbers. And wherever Dan was racing, he had an apartment to stay at. Well, in every apartment, he put a girl. So I got to know all these girls' names. Where's Dan? Well, you might try this number, you might try that. So Dan says, you can try those numbers, but this is the number you call first. It's B12 in the Breaker's apartment in Little Rock, Arkansas. He says, that's a place where all the attorneys and judges and business people, we meet after work at that B12 and we party. Party hard. So I'd call these numbers and these girls would all answer, and Dan's got a friend named Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton's got a girlfriend named,
doesn't matter.
You'd know her name. She became pretty famous. Wound up a centerfold in Playboy magazine. There's another centerfold in Playboy that had a connection with somebody I knew. Can't think who it is.
That's fine.
Anyway, Dan Lasseter, he was a kid. He started out picking up papers at McDonald's on their parking lot. So then he starts managing a McDonald's, and he's managing 12 of them. So he says to the neighbor guy, let's build one of these. Come over with the money. I know how to run it. We'll build one. So they built, like McDonald's, or they were called something else. They were in Dayton, I think. So they built eight or 10 or 12 of them. So Dan says to the neighbor, let's do the same thing with steaks. Make them faster way to get a steak than, So the neighbor said, well, I'm getting old. You go ahead without me, Dan. So Dan comes up with Ponderosa Steakhouses. He builds 3,200 of them.
Are they still around?
They were a few years ago, and there's probably some like in South Dakota and things like that. They were in Spokane. Hmm. And Dan makes $30 million. Sells out for $30 million. He buys a horse farm in Kentucky, in Goshen, Kentucky. And he buys one in Florida, Ocala, Florida. And the first thing you know, he's leading money winner in America 5 years in a row. He had Royal Glint that won $1 million. Royal Glint running the big races. He was by Round Table. When he bought it from Claiborne Farms. And when Bull Hancock, that had Claiborne Farms, died, the Internal Revenue swooped in there, and the boys set up a tent out in the front yard, and they brought the horses out one at a time and sold those horses till they got enough to pay the Internal Revenue.
Jeez.
And one of them was Royal Glint, and Dan bought him for $1 million out of that sale. Didn't make anybody in the horse community too happy about Internal Revenue. Mm-hmm. It was pretty stark.
Wow.
But they assessed his estate. Mm-hmm. They appraised Claiborne Farms. And so Seth and his brother, they just sold the horses until they paid the bill. Sale ended.
Wow.
That time he got Royal Glint. But we bought 15 mares from him. I paid $96,000 for the 15 mares. I said, I want to buy some mares from you, six of them. He said, I'm going to send you a list of 15. You pick them out. So I got to looking at them, and I'm thinking, I hate to do this. If I buy them all, I'm going to get, if I pick a few of them, maybe get to, miss death. Mm-hmm. So I bought them all.
Wow.
Bought them all for $96,000. They were, one of them was Truancy. Mm. And she brought her home. I took her to Playfair and won, and took her to Seattle and won. Bred her to Flag Officer. She had a colt at her side. Flag Officer, colt at her side, Flag Officer inside of her. Sold her for $96,000. To Rick Kessler, that owned a swimsuit company in California.
All right, well, do you have any other funny stories or you want to wrap up with?
This is one I remember, not a very funny story, but it was something that happened that I remember in my brain. We left. For some reason, we were at a convention in Baltimore. And so we take the train, only time I've been on a train, from Baltimore to Washington, D.C. So the Watergate hadn't happened yet. So we go have a nice dinner. We go to the Watergate Hotel. At the Watergate, it was really fancy, and they had round seating like Las Vegas, Kings Row, with around six or eight people. Hmm. Round seats. In this round seat was this little old shriveled up guy with white hair. He didn't know where he was. He was just old. And it's this beautiful, well-built blonde, feeding him. He's sitting there in a Tacoma, and she's spoon-feeding him.
To continue this conversation between Justin and his grandfather Gary, tune in to episode 20 of Can't Stop Moving.
Don't forget to like, subscribe, and download so you don't miss a single episode. You can find Can't Stop Moving podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. Visit us at owensfarms.com and interact with us on Instagram @modernfarmerusa.